100%ers. Challenge your employees to give it their all, and they'll give you even more. Author: Mark Murphy. The 100% Leader. If leadership IQ research on more than 500,000 employees and leaders is any indication, right now, 77% of leaders believe that their employees are not giving 100%. And they're not far off in their assessment, because 72% of employees admit they're not giving 100%. The 100% leader creates 100%ers by challenging them and creating a connection with them, unleashes their true potential to achieve extraordinary results. The 100% leader doesn't just accept people as they are. He instead sees what they could become and cares enough to push us beyond self-imposed limitations to create our potential. After studying more than 125,000 leaders, we discovered that the two most important differentiating factors in separating exceptional from average leaders are connection and challenge. Balance creates 100%. If you don't challenge people and you don't build an emotional bond with them, you're an avoider. If you challenge people to exceed their limits but you don't have much of a connection with them, you're an intimidator. If you connect with your folks but you don't challenge them with all that much, you're an appeaser. And if you issue great challenges while still building intense connections with people, you're the ultra-desirable 100% leader. The balance seems to be that leaders should be loved, but they should be loved for pushing people to give 100%, not for coddling or appeasing them. How to become a 100% leader? It would be great if employees turned into 100%ers without any help from anyone, but they don't, and they need an outside push. Yet, you don't have to be the bad guy who tears people in order to build them back up to something better. You can start right if you're willing to set the goals that challenge and inspire. After years of studying 100%ers and the 100% leaders who enable them, Leadership IQ has distilled the critical success factors into a goal-setting methodology called hard goals. To be effective, a hard goal must be heartfelt. They exist so as to serve something bigger than ourselves. Animated. They're so vividly described and presented that not reaching them would leave us wanting. Required. They're as critical to our continued existence as breathing and water. Difficult. They're so hard that they'll test all our limits. However, you don't have to be a world leader to issue a hard challenge, nor do you have to have thousands of followers. You just have to be willing to push past what's easy to do what's right. Heartfelt. Working for money will never be as motivating as working for something bigger than oneself. A few executives may be intrinsically charged up to boost share price, but employees on the front lines need something more meaningful to want to become 100%ers. Companies whose existential anchor is money will never outperform a company whose existence is serving customers. Companies that tend to make the most money over time do so by delivering the most value to somebody bigger than themselves, not by sacrificing the customer to immediately increase shareholder value. If you want to build a heartfelt higher purpose into your goals and inspire more 100%ers, make your goals noble. Animated. Hard goals aspire. They force us to push through our self-imposed limitations, to focus on something bigger than our own immediate wants, and to solve challenges of vital necessity. But hard goals also inspire. Required. Hard goals aren't just nice to do, they're necessary to do. So, before you can expect full adoption of your hard goals, you've got to ask for people to understand why they're required. Difficult. Studies proved that as the difficulty of the goal increased, performance also increased, given that the goal was also specific. Make the goal specific and hard, and you get results. Certainly, performance could be expected to drop when the true limits of one's ability are reached. Create accountability with constructive feedback. Like any tough challenge, hard goals are not achieved without mistakes. People make mistakes, freeze up, doubt their abilities, or shy away from accountability. Yet critical mistakes left uncorrected are unacceptable. This translates to heavy frustration on your part and unnecessary performance limitations on the part of your employees, both of which have no place in a 100%er workplace. Delivering constructive feedback. 1. Invite them to partner and express openness to hear the other side of the story. 2. Disarm yourself so that if employees suspect that hurtful criticism is going to be a part of the experience, they're likely to enter a constructive feedback conversation with more trepidation. This can stop the important message from being heard, even before it's delivered. 3. Eliminate blame, because the goal of delivering constructive feedback is not to make employees feel bad for whatever they have done or thought. 100% leaders avoid historical and emotional punishment and focus on solutions. 4. List corrective feedback, since the golden rule for giving constructive feedback is that it makes perfect sense, holds up to logical scrutiny, and is understandable and teaches sufficiently. 5. Don't skip on the details. 6. Synchronize your understanding. You'll never win an employee's buy-in to change if you tell the employee to shut up and follow orders. Constructive feedback is different from advice. One mistake many leaders make is delivering advice instead of constructive feedback. This only confuses the matter, raises the other party's defensiveness, and pushes the person in the opposite direction of 100% of performance. There are 5 core reasons why advice negates the effectiveness of constructive feedback and raises defensiveness. 1. Judgment. 2. Directive. 3. Inflexibility. If your advice is taken, that means the other person must tactfully admit you're right and he is wrong. 4. Narcissism. Sometimes we give advice because we want to demonstrate how smart we are, or because we feel left out or needed to be needed. 5. Unsolicited. This means that the other party didn't ask to be judged, corrected, or directed. There's virtually no chance they'll be in an open emotional state to hear what you say. Positive reinforcement instead of praise. Positive reinforcement is not praise, and it's not warm and fuzzy. It's a teaching tool that addresses a psychological principle based on the fact that desirable behavior gets repeated when reinforced. The 4 components of positive reinforcement are: 1. Make it meaningful. 2. Be specific. 3. Make it timely. If you want positive feedback to carry full impact, it has to be delivered in real time. 4. Keep it free of criticism. How to create the ultra-desirable workplace attitude. Stop demotivating and start motivating. Everybody has shoves and tugs. Shoves are those issues that demotivate you, drain your energy, stop you from giving 100% of effort, and make you want to quit. Tugs are those issues that motivate you and fulfill you, make you want to give 100% of effort, and keep you coming back day after day. Challenge encountering 100%. Leaders, 100% skills with 0% attitude. There's one group of employees who present a unique set of challenges to making your hard goals happen. We call them talented terrors. They're the employees who have the skills you want, but the attitude you don't want. Let's define the bad attitude that makes these folks such poor performers. 1. Failure due to lack of coachability, 26%. Employees don't accept or implement feedback from bosses, colleagues, customers, and others. 2. Failure due to lack of emotional intelligence, 23%. Employees lack the ability to understand and manage their own emotions and to accurately assess others' emotions. 3. Failure due to lack of motivation, 17%. Employees lack the positive attitudes that fuel the drive to achieve their full potential and to excel at the job. 4. Failure due to wrong temperament, 15%. Employees have the wrong attitude and personality for a particular job and work environment. This should certainly make you rethink the focus of your hiring practices. But it also shows that unequivocally, no matter how skilled an employee may be, if there's a lousy attitude at play, especially one that involves lack of coachability, poor emotional intelligence, lack of motivation, and wrong temperament, you're not looking at 100% of material.